Today we're reading from chapter 8, 286 to 288. The verse on the board should be 288. This is one of the most advanced chapters in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very extraordinary chapter. Conversation with Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. We've been on this chapter now for quite some time. It's 288. You know, it's nearly finished, another 40 or so verses. One of the longest chapters in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, about 100 years ago, they weren't allowed to study this chapter until they'd been devotee for 20 years or something. So here we go. Just read 286 and 287. Translation, Śrī Caitanya Mahāprabhu confirmed, all the truths about my pastimes and mellows are within your knowledge. Therefore, I have shown this form to you. Which form did he show? Does anyone remember? Radha and Krishna. So Ramananda Roy, he's in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, he's got a Vashaka. Oh, Lalita. He's a gopi. So he's seen Krishna and Radharani before. But when he saw this form combined, then he fainted. He fainted because he'd never seen it before. Text 287. Translation, actually my body does not have a fair complexion. It only appears so because it has touched the body of Srimati Radharani. However, she does not touch anyone but the son of Nanda Maharaj. Text 288. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada in purport. I have now converted my body and mind into the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. Thus, I am tasting my own personal sweetness in that form. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Gaurasunda here informed Sri Ramananda Roy, my dear Ramananda Roy, you are actually seeing a separate person with a fair complexion body. Actually, I am not fair. Being Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, I am blackish. But when I come in touch with Srimati Radharani, I become fair complexioned externally. Srimati Radharani does not touch the body of anyone but Krishna. I taste my own transcendental features by accepting the complexion of Srimati Radharani. Without Radharani, one cannot taste the transcendental pleasure of Krishna's conjugal love. End quote. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on the Prakrita Sahaja Sampradaya, which considers Krishna and Lord Chaitanya to possess different bodies. They misinterpret the words Gauda Anga Nahi Moda in text 287. From that verse and the present verse, we can understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna. Both are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the form of Krishna, the Lord enjoys spiritual bliss and remains the shelter of all devotees, Visaya Vigraha. And in his Gauranga feature, Krishna tastes separation from Krishna in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. This ecstatic form is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna is always the transcendental reservoir of all pleasure, and he is technically called Dira Lalita. Srimati Radharani is the embodiment of spiritual energy, personified as ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, only Krishna can touch her. The Dira Lalita aspect is not seen in any other form of the Lord, including Vishnu and Narayan. Srimati Radharani is therefore known as Govinda Nandini and Govinda Mohini, for she is the only source of transcendental pleasure for Sri Krishna and the only person who can enchant his mind. Tandra bhavi bhavita kari atmamana tabe nija madhurya kari ashadana. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksusunvinitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostuti Tapta Kanchana Ghodanghi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Brisabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupadrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadha Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Hare Krishna.
Translation again. I have now converted my body and mind into the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. Thus, I am tasting my own personal sweetness in that form. So, can sugar taste its own sweetness? No. Can Krishna taste his own sweetness? Yes. So, how can he do that? Not exactly, no. He has to take the mood, the bhav. He has to steal it. He has to steal it. And where does he steal it from? No. From Radhika. He wants to taste. He sees the devotees are tasting millions of times more happiness from my sweetness than I can taste myself. So he's very frustrated. How am I going to taste this sweetness? Aprakalita purva yaskamatkara chari spurati esa spurati mama esa madhurya pura ayam maham api hanta prakchadri labdha chetaha sadasi upaboktum kama ye radhikeva. This is a verse spoken by Lord Krishna when he sees his own reflection in a pillar in Dwarka. He says, where is there an abundance of sweetness greater than mine? I long to taste this sweet form and enjoy it exactly like Srimati Radharani. So one time when Radharani was sleeping, Krishna entered her heart and he stole her bhav, her mood. And when he did that, his complexion changed into golden form, golden complexion. So when we see, sometimes we think Lord Chaitanya is an incarnation of Krishna or someone different to Krishna. He's not. Shyamasundar plays a flute. This is him, Lord Chaitanya. And if you study Chaitanya Charitamrita more and more, you'll see that a great deal of time is taken by Krishna Das Kaviraj in explaining that Krishna is this ultimate supreme form of the Lord. And he says that he tries to prove that in different ways. Not that it needs proving, but to an audience who's not convinced. This is, you'll find this in Krishna consciousness. The longer you stay in Krishna consciousness, you'll have experiences of people who follow Hindu religion, who follow the Vedas, who are very scholarly, but they say, oh, these ISKCON devotees, they're very nice. ISKCON is a wonderful society. It's upholding Hindu Dharma. But why do they put this so much emphasis on Krishna? If I like Ganesh, if I like Shiva, this is Hinduism. It's whatever you want. can be the supreme. This is their philosophy. Why do we put so much emphasis on Krishna? So this is very, very important. Srila Prabhupada put the logo of ISKCON, the banner, the flag, what another word for it, the shield of arms, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. This is the Maha Vakya of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very, very important for us to understand fully, without any doubt, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. This is Krishna's teaching in Bhagavad Gita. Yomam evam asamudo janati purusottamam sasava vidbhajantimam sava bhavena bharata. If one knows me to be Purushottam, the Supreme Being, Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he knows everything and he engages in devotional service. And why is Krishna, what is the other arguments he uses? He says that Krishna does not have any relationship with his material energy. Mahavishnu, Chiradakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay, they have relationship with Maya. That is one aspect. There's a famous book from the 18th century, one English gentleman. He went around all the temples of Calcutta and he said, I understand that Krishna must be the supreme, because when I go in all the temples of the demigods and this one and that one, they're all very busy doing things. But Krishna's just playing his flute. Therefore, he's free, completely free. This is the position of Krishna. He's completely free to engage in pastimes of his own internal energy. So the other aspect of Krishna's position is his pastimes, his sweetness, his beauty, and his devotees. In the Nectar of Devotion, there's a list of 64 qualities of Krishna, and Lord Narayan has up to 60 of those qualities. But Krishna has four more. Therefore, when Lord Chaitanya met Venkatabhata, he said they were discussing this point, because Venkatabhata was a devotee of Lord Narayan in South India. He said, Narayana svabede pi sri sa krishna sarupaya rasanat krishate krishna rupam esa rasastita. He says that there's no difference between Lord Narayan and Krishna. They're the same person. But in Krishna we see extra transcendental mellows, more sweetness. And then in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami says these pastimes of Krishna, lifting Govardhan Hill, playing the flute and the Rasleela, this is proof that he's a Supreme Personality of God, higher than any other. He's the original form. And in this original form, he is tasting the highest bliss. His devotees are tasting the highest bliss. And that bliss is not hampered by any awe and reverence. This is a special feature of the spiritual world. In Krishna's pastimes, there is yoga maya. In Vaikuntha, there's no yoga maya. Only in Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada states this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishna submits to his own yoga maya and he forgets himself. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they don't think this is God. They don't think like that. They just think this is Krishna. And then Krishna has to achieve things. Now, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. He's up to karma, right? All his desires are fulfilled, up to karma. We have so many desires to fulfill. Now, we see a lot of billionaires, they get bored, right? To get everything, it's so boring. They can have anything they want. So similarly, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, I mean, he's Atmarami, self-satisfied, but if he wants something, he can just have it, right? Now, this is another side point, side issue, that Krishna is not enjoyer of sense gratification. Throughout the whole Vedas, Krishna is saying the sense gratification is bad. The path of sense gratification is the wrong path. You engage in devotional service to me. So why should he be interested in sense gratification? He's telling all human beings, sense gratification, give it up. Become a devotee. So what's Krishna's position? Sometimes devotees have this idea, oh, Krishna's the supreme enjoy. He can enjoy sense gratification, but we can't. Therefore, this is our philosophy. But this is not our philosophy, actually. Krishna is not interested in sense gratification. He is not some big sense enjoyer. Not at all. What is Krishna interested in? Can anyone say? Bhakti? Bhakti means love. He's only interested in love. So he's self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything to be happy. But Bahusham, he expands himself unto unlimited living entities to taste love and to expand his loving bliss. So he wants to serve his devotees. That's what he wants. And the devotees want to serve him. Serve means to please you. They want to please him and he wants to please them. And in this way there is love, real love. Last means I want to be happy. I want to enjoy. And that's why we're in the material world and we have millions of desires and we're suffering. Because even if we fulfill them, we still don't get happy. And the proof is all around you, unlimitedly. You see, there's hundreds of thousands of beautiful houses, they're all for sale. And the guys are in Monaco bidding for their next yacht because the big yacht they've got is not good enough, they need a bigger yacht. So this greed for enjoyment is unlimited. No matter how wealthy you are, it never ends. No matter how many desires you fulfill, you'll always have more. Because this is a material world. It's a place of limitation and ultimate misery. And then all the while that your desires are growing, you're getting older, then you have to come back and go into another womb and again come out. Sharinam yadavapnoti yachapi utkramatishvara. Grihit vaitani sangyati prabhu ghanda nivashayat. You're carrying your conception of life in your subtle body. And this subtle body is again going. Womb after womb. Shrotram chaksum sparshanam cha rasanam grahanam eva cha. Adisjayam manaschayam vishaya. Because you're trying to enjoy sense gratification, then you're suffering, life after life. And the process of yoga, renunciation doesn't work because you're full of life. You're full of rasa, you're full of existence, means to be happy, to enjoy ananda. So you have to take knowledge from Krishna, take knowledge from the Vedas, and you have to start to purify this desire in the heart. What is the root of that desire? Bhayam dviti pinivesita shari shadipatasya vipariyo smriti. That you've forgotten who you are, your identity thinks, I am a product of material nature. Let me enjoy. Take Krishna's position. What you think is Krishna's position. Enjoyment. So loving exchange is the highest enjoyment actually. So in the spiritual world, there's no selfless enjoyment. Krishna doesn't have it. Devotees don't have it. They're only, selfish. They're only selfless. Even the gopis, their happiness is 10 million times more when they unite Radha and Krishna together. And even Radharani, she wants to unite her friends with Krishna, all the gopis. They're never thinking about their own selfish happiness. And Krishna's also like that. So it appears like this material world. Krishna's trying to achieve something that he doesn't have. But it's all for expansion of this loving mellows. Just like it says here, my yuma, my own transcendental yuma. So Krishna, he wants to enjoy loving exchange with unlimited living entities. Then that's why you're valuable. You're all valuable because you have some potential to give Krishna pleasure that nobody else can give him because everyone is unique. You can give something to Krishna he cannot get from anyone else. Therefore, he's waiting. He wants to taste. He wants to taste the mellows, what love you can give him, what love he can give you. This is a rasa. And then all the pastimes are actually like this display of this yoga maya. So up to karma, all his desires are fulfilled. But Krishna, when he comes 14, he's practicing on his flute, trying to get some rag that will attract the gopis. He's practicing, oh, this one, maybe this one. Then sometimes he goes to this Gandhamardana garden. And there in the Gandhamardana garden, there's all the perfume sellers. So he takes an intimate friend like Subal, and he's trying all the perfumes. So which one will attract Radharani? So if all his desires are fulfilled, then how is this? Because it's for his happiness. You see? This is the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. When I get chastised by the gopis or my friends, they ride on my shoulders or they slap me or they fight with me, I get more happiness, millions of times more happiness than the hymns of the Vedas by all the Brahmins. See, so Krishna's a person. And the famous example is the king. He's all being worshipped, you know, or like the prime minister. But when he goes home, he's just with his family and he much prefers, he gets more happiness from being with his friends. So this all in reverence. So another very interesting subject of this verse, purport, is the color, the complexion. Now this is a very wide-ranging theme in Srila Prabhupada's books, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the complexion, the color of the body. Just like the Vaikuntha Dutas, people who live in the spiritual world, they say have their sky blue color. Or a black cloud with lightning flashing on it. Prabhupada once says an electric blue color. And when Varaha came in his incarnation, at one point he made his body a sham color, black color. And then Brahma and the demigods realized this is the supreme personality of Godhead. This is our Lord. So color seems to be a very important thing. In the Nectar of Devotion, the five principal relationships and the seven yumas, they all have a different color. And they all have a worshipful deity. So this color of Madhurya, the conjugal attraction, is blackish or sham. Sometimes it is blackish, sometimes whitish, sometimes bluish. Bhaktisiddhanta says it is a not the color blue of this material world. It is analogous, he said, this word analogous. It means similar. It's similar to blue. And in the spiritual realm, there's more colors than we have in this world. So there's extra colors. And all Krishna's associates, some of them are colored like coral red, some of them are bluish, some of them greenish. And there's so much colors. In the Bhagavatam, there's description of Lord Shiva. Now, if I ask you, what color is Lord Shiva? What is actual color? Do you know? Anyone know? No. Anyone? So Lord Shiva, he appears to be white because he's always covered in the ashes from the crematorium. He's a... But his actual color is golden. When he comes out of the lake to see the Prachetas, he has a golden yellow form. And after Lord Brahma steals the coward voice, then afterwards comes back, sees Krishna, and Krishna shows all the coward boys of forms of me. And then all the dust and trees turns into forms of him. And like the whole thing is like everything's Narayan, everything's Krishna. He becomes bewildered and he pays his dandavats in the dust at Govardhan Hill. He pays his dandavats to Krishna. And Bhagavatam says, you're just like a golden rod lying on the floor. So Lord Brahma's form is also golden. And another verse in the fourth canto says that Prithu Maharaj's thighs were golden colored and that the high class Brahmins had a golden complexion. So like this, so many times it is mentioned. So this golden color is the color of love of the devotee for the Lord. So Srimati Radharani, her form is golden. Radha, Bhava, Jyoti, Suvalitam, Noma, Krishna, Surupam. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Radha, Krishna, Bhava, Jyoti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das Goswami, says you always remember that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the son of Maharaj Nanda. So don't think Lord Chaitanya is an incarnation of Krishna or some expansion or some like that. You understand? Is that clear, this point? He's Krishna. He's actually Krishna. So he's become covered by the mood. He's taken the mood of Srimati Radha and her luster. The luster. So this color is a very interesting thing. In Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the most famous verse describing Lord Chaitanya in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto? Krishna Vanam Tisa Krishna Sangapangastra Pasadam Jagyai Sankirtana Praye Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. That the incarnation for Kali Yuga, he's Krishna, but he's not blackish. He comes with his associates and he's always chanting the holy name of Krishna. That's probably a bad paraphrase of the translation. Can anyone help me a bit more? Anything I missed? He's always doing Sankirtan. So Jiva Goswami has composed one verse at the beginning of his Bhagavad Sandarbha, Tattva Sandarbha, Anta Krishna Bahir Gauram. Anta Krishna Bahir Gauram. Dashitangadi Vaibhavam Kalo Sankirtana Jasma Shri Krishna Chaitanyam Ashritam. I'm worshipping Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Anta, he's Gaura. Anta, he's Krishna. Anta, Krishna, Bahia. Bahia, sorry, other way around. Anta, he's Gaura. Bahia, he's Krishna. So outside he's golden, but inside he's Krishna. So this Vana, Krishna Vana Tusa Krishna, means he's the same category as Krishna. Now, how many people are in Krishna's category? Huh?
Exactly.
Correct. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, Dvavimo Purusho Loke Charas Chakchara. So there are two types of living beings, liberated and non-liberated. And I'm different to all of them. Eko bahunam vidadati kamam. I'm the one. One person. Nityo nichananam, chaitanas chaitanam. I'm fulfilling the desires. I'm supplying everything. Sava kalva idam brahma. Everything is Krishna. So I just had a godbrother who got initiated recently. Guru Maharaj called him Ekavana Das. Ekavana means only one. One category. Only Krishna comes in this category. Only he is Bhagash Punashwarya Bhagavan. He is complete with all opulences. And everyone else is his expansion. Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arasaba Bricha. Everyone is his servant. Even his expansions. Even if his first expansion. Who's Krishna's first expansion? Jai Balaram Ki Jai. First expansion, Baladev. And how does he feel? I'm a servant of Krishna. You see? So even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Balaram, feels this bhav, this mood. I'm a servant of Krishna. So Vana also means syllable. So this incarnate, this form of the Lord, he's always chanting. Dvayi, Vana Dvayi, two syllables, Krishna. He's always chanting holy name of Krishna. And Vana also means color. So Gagamuni tells, in the birth ceremony, name-giving ceremony of baby Krishna, says, Shukla raktas tata pita, Krishna, idanim Krishna to gata. This boy, this child, he has been reddish, whitish, and yellowish, and now he's blackish. So this yellowish is an indication of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a Yuga avatar. So if he's the Yuga avatar, there must be a Yuga Dharma. What is a Yuga Dharma? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you're all devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his molten gold form, his molten gold feature is one of his astra, one of his weapons. What does he do with his weapon? He kills the maya in your heart. You want to be the enjoyer, but if you see Lord Chaitanya's golden form, all your material sin and desires reduce immediately just by seeing him, just by chanting, Sri Krishna Chaitanya! Gauranga! 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 This is the mantra, Gaura Anga. It's a four-syllable mantra. It means Radha Krishna, because Radha and Krishna are Gaura Anga, Gauranga. So you have any trouble in your spiritual life, just chant the holy name of Gauranga and worship Radha Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. Worship Radha and Krishna through the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is the main feeling, the main bhav of love is that I'm feeling separation from Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always feeling the ecstasy of separation. Srila Prabhupada says that separation has something that union doesn't have. It has this anticipation of meeting. So it's very exciting. And when there is meeting with Krishna, it's so wonderful, it's so sweet after the separation that you want to feel the separation again and again. This is the transcendental mellows of love of Krishna. Krishna, reservoir of all pleasure, technically is called Dhira Lalita. No other form of the Lord has this feature, Dhira Lalita. You can read about this in Nectar Devotion. Dhira Lalita means he's very engaged, like an adolescent conjugal lover of the gopis. And he's very playful, very sweet pastimes. Maduram, maduram. He's very sweet. So we just finished that. Actually, my body not only appears, so we just touch. So this is this verse, the 287. My body does not have a fair complexion. It only appears so because it's been touched by Srimati Radharani. So this is the proof that he's Krishna. You see? He's actually Krishna. Some say Krishna became golden by embracing the gopis. And inside he's golden because he's always thinking of the gopis. And Radharani, inside she's blackish because she's always thinking of Krishna. And one time, before Radharani was married, she was living in Varshana with her parents. And this great yogi, Durvasa, came and she cooked and served for him. And he was so pleased with the prasadam. He says, I bless your daughter, Srimati Radhika, too. Or whatever she cooks, anyone who eats it will be nourished and live long life and be very happy. So when the king and queen over in Nandagram, Yashoda Nandana, Yashoda Devi, heard this, she said, oh, let Radharani come and cook for Krishna. So every day, Radharani, at that time she lived in Varshana, she would walk across with her friends, across Java to Nandagram. Who's been to Varshana? So when you're at Nandagram, so when you stand on top, if the visibility is good, you can see Nandagram and Varshana. It's such one of the most beautiful sights in the whole universe. When you see Nandagram from Varshana, or you see Varshana from Nandagram, such a beautiful place. So Radharani walks to Nandagram and she cooks the big breakfast for Krishna. And Yashoda is so in love with Radharani. At that time, she's thinking more and more, I want Radharani to marry Krishna. She's the only girl in Goloka, in Vrindavan, who has the qualities to match my son. So one day, she takes some turmeric, you know, turmeric yellow powder, haldi, and she puts it on Radharani's hands, on her palms. And in Vedic culture, if you do this, if a mother from a son does this to the daughter, and the daughter goes home to the parents and shows it, then it means, it's a message, we want your daughter to marry our son. You understand? So after she leaves with all her girlfriends, they're walking back to Vashana. And then Radharani's thinking, I'm going to marry Krishna. And Radharani's saying to Mother Yashoda, I'm so young and carefree. I don't think I want to get married and be, you know, limited and tied down. And Yashoda's saying, no, no, you have to accept the responsibilities and duties of womanhood. Get married, become responsible. So then as she's walking, now of course, if Radharani marries Krishna, then the whole pastimes are finished, actually. Because then it becomes like a formal and all the fun and the secrecy and the meeting and the separation is all finished. So Lalita's there saying, don't worry, Lali, Radharani, we go to this lake here and we wash it off. We just wash off the haldi, wash off the turmeric, so then no more. We don't have to worry. So Radharani then goes to the lake and she's sitting and she's washing her hands in the lake. And as she's washing her hands, she's thinking about Krishna. She's thinking maybe it would be good to marry Krishna, then I'll be with him always. And she's thinking more and more about Krishna. And all her bhav is going into the lake. All of her ecstatic love for Krishna is going into the lake. So finally her hands are clean. She goes back home. So then, nearby, Krishna is herding cows. And he's wondering. And then he sees this lake has turned yellow, turned golden. What is that? He's looking around. How did that happen? So he goes. And then as soon as he touches the lake with his hand, he gets a shock. All the ecstasy of Radharani is there. So he likes it more and more, and then he just dives in. He's full of ecstasy, swimming in it. And he comes out, and all his form is golden. And all the birds and the creatures and the cows and his friends, what's happened to you? And he's all in ecstasy, chants. He starts feeling love for himself. Starts chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So in this way, he tastes the bhav and takes on the complexion of his greatest devotee, Ladini Shakti, personified. His own expansion, actually. But that is another story for another class. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. We can have a little discussion. I've got to take someone to the airport, so I cannot stay long. But if anyone has any questions or comments, Hare Krishna Gopinath. The lake is called Pitakund or Pilukund. And it's near Vashana. And you can still go there today and it is still yellowish.
Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is a very good question. I was waiting for someone to ask that question. I'm ready for the answer.
Haribol.
So in a Krishna conscious, in Vaishnava culture, there are different types of evidence, as you've mentioned. And one of them is tradition, the village folklore, the past from time immemorial, the stories are told. So this is one of those Brajbasi folklore tradition in that place, like that. And it is a valid source of evidence according to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, like that. Very good.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu. Yeah. As far as I understand, I may be wrong, they were the Yuga avatars. So Nara Narayan Rishi in Satya Yuga. And there was a his name was Yagya in Treta Yuga. And he his paraphernalia was the wooden spoon and the other thing. It's got a technical name. And he was doing fire sacrifice. Yeah? Yuga avatars. Because they also change, there's issues. But generally, they're like that. I think that is the answer. Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class, Prabhu.
There was one thing I wanted to comment on. Earlier when you said how Krishna is the supreme because he's sweeter and he plays a flute. And that reminded me of like a story that my dad told me. How like someone from like, the Western world, of the Hindu gods, they wanted to find out who is the supreme and which one is the most supreme. And they looked and they looked carefully and all of them are holding weapons. Except the only one that isn't like some kind of weapon, like a conch shell, lotus, yeah, or things like that. The only one who isn't holding a weapon is Krishna.
That's great.
Krishna, he doesn't hold any weapon. He holds a musical instrument, a flute. And then they figured out, oh, okay, this one is musical. He must be the supreme.
Jai. Fantastic. The god who dances. Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Dai go Premanandi.